There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
I hope she says La High Stepper. They're in Paris right now as Governor Ivey, part of the Alabama contingent, leading. I don't know who gets in the front of the line, senators or the governor. I'd vote for Governor Ivey to lead the contingent in Paris. Paris Air Show Day 1 is today. Hey, it's Midday Mobile, live local talk over the next couple of hours. Glad you're here, and lots to do on today's show. Coming up in hour number 2, we're going to use the beauty of modern telecommunications to ring our buddy George Talbot, communications director with City of Mobile. Maybe he'll be sleeping. Maybe he'll be just sitting down to dinner. I think, what are they, 5 this time of year? This time of year, 5 hours ahead? Yeah, 5 or 6 hours. I think 5 hours ahead this time of year. So we'll bring his phone there in Paris, find out what happened for day 1 of the Paris Air Show. Of course, it's a big deal for us right here in Southwest Alabama when you start thinking about Airbus and ancillary companies to Airbus. But the rest of the state's going to try to represent as well, because you got Boeing up in the northern part of the state, and also in the Wiregrass, they're a player. And then I'm sure there's many other parts of the state of Alabama would like to do what we've done here in Mobile, right? Or what they've done in Huntsville or over in Dothan. They'd like to land, pun intended, like to land some aerospace business. So that's going on right now. Paris Air Show will check in hour number 2. Hey, coming up this hour, I'm going to get more into this story that has so many layers when it comes to the bridge toll, right? There's so many layers here. It's easy just to talk about, should we have a toll and how much should it be? Okay, that's part of it. But how did we get here? That's what I was most interested in, what I've been most interested in. How did we get to this position that the toll was the only way to get this done? Federal funding, right? Federal it's a federal interstate, but this idea that it would have no local money in it, that's one that I'd never heard. Even way back talking about the proposed I-10 Mobile River Bridge project, you did always have some component of local money. I know for a long time it was 20%. So the match, right? We talk about these matches all the time. The match would be 20%. And then I heard it went to 50%, at least according to Jeff Poor over at Yellowhammer News, who quoted an interview we had last week in his story at Yellowhammer and said 50%. Well, the reality is we're down to 7. And 7 is probably the best-case scenario. We may not even get the 7% on this. This leads to a lot of people to asking questions of, you know, why? Why no more federal money here? Now, part of that is coming off of a conversation we had with Congressman Bradley Byrne, AL1's Congressman Bradley Byrne, last week. But it's actually, he was just reiterating what he had said maybe 3 weeks prior. And then again, he had said something to this effect a couple months ago about why there wasn't more federal funding in this. Okay, I'm going to run the clip real fast here, set this up. This was from last week. Congressman Byrne was on with us, I think this was Thursday in the 1 o'clock hour last week. And by the way, you can go hear our podcast about that. Oh, and before I go any further, the streaming. Yes, we had the blown transformer here yesterday for Father's Day, which let me spend my Father's Day here at the radio station. But yes, that has, when it happened, the bone transformer here and the power line issues outside our building. Alabama Power got everything back up, but left a lot of our equipment in shambles. Well, like MacGyver would be proud of what Dalton and I and Mark and the whole crew have done today. And so with streaming is back up. So you can get our stream, and we appreciate all you that stream it through the radio station website or through the TuneIn radio app. There's thousands of, and thank you. And I know y'all let us know that it wasn't working this morning. We said we're trying to get it back as soon as possible. So streaming is up. So are the podcasts. And you can go back to fmtalk1065.com and click the podcast page and get the full interview with Congressman Byrne from last week. But here's a clip, what he had to say when the discussion of federal dollars, the lack of federal dollars that are part of the proposed I-10 Mobile River Bridge project. Here it is.
In a meeting we had a couple of years ago now in Montgomery with the State Department of Transportation officials, and that's who makes all these decisions, not the feds. They said, look, we've decided that we're going to go this tolling route, and we really don't need the federal money. We're going to do it without the federal money. And I said, well, gee, I've been working real hard on getting this federal grant for y'all. And they said, yeah, that's nice and all, but we're going to, you know, meet the financial needs we've got to have here by doing this toll. And that's when we got to a discussion about how they could at least buy down the amount that Alabamians would pay on the toll by using the SCOMESA money. And they just haven't been very receptive to that, to be honest with you.
All right, and then further in the interview, because people, I think somebody on the text line had asked something to the effect of, well, why isn't he doing something about it, he being Congressman Byrne? Remember, this is ALDOT. This is state.
Frankly, I was surprised. But, you know, I have to realize I'm a federal official, not a state official. I can't tell them what to do. Certainly, that we've been driving the bus and trying to get all these federal approvals out of the way, which we should have in 3 weeks, by the way, and get it all set up for them. And also put them in touch with the right people at the Federal Department of Transportation for how this is going to be financed, because there's a way to finance that through the U.S. Department of Transportation. And I think they are actively pursuing that. But at the end of the day, you got to have money to pay that financing back. And they were clearly on this, we're going to use tolls path, and didn't seem that interested in our trying to get this federal money, although they have made the application. And as I say, we've had them in touch with the Federal Department of Transportation officials to help them know what they need to do to make a really good grant application.
Okay.
So let's hope that works.
There's a clip from last week to kind of set up and reiterate what he had said in the past on this show. So with that being said, of course, the question is, how do we get here? And what do we do about it? Can you do something about it? That's something we'll talk about. State Senator Chris Elliott's going to join us in just a little bit. We'll talk with him. Also on the way in today's show, I want to hear from you on this, and you can probably get your reaction on the text line here on this one, but we'll talk about it. I want to take your phone calls next hour, but be thinking about this. As the and by the way, that polling story, I could sit and rehash what Mike Gallagher did. I think I agree with a lot of people out there that, first of all, the panic over this polling that has come out that shows the president losing in 15 to 17 states. I mean, I could play this umpteen different ways. I can say, number one, look what the polling did in 2016, right? It was wrong. And that far, and this far out, 500 some odd days before the election, even polls that have, you know, in the past that this seemed to have people, Americans had faith in, they were often very wrong because they're so far out. And beyond that, too, then the president's administration today saying, well, that was taken, you know, 3 months before, and that was not a good snapshot. And it was based on metrics showing a big Democrat turnout. Listen, all those nuances can be thrown in there, but does it make a difference anymore? And especially 500 days out, I don't know. But the angle I want to talk about with you is the president backing Senator Daines' "Don't Burn the Flag or Go to Jail" bill. What do you think about that? Is that something he's full in on? Are you full in on? We'll talk about that coming up. That and a whole lot more on the way. Coming right back, it's tolls and how we got here.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. You can find us online, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. You can reach out to me directly, as Mike Hinn say, directly on Twitter, at FM Talk 106.5. Remember, check out the podcast, and the streaming is back up and running, and we have put the everything we learned on MacGyver into action, and we brought the streaming back up even after the big power explosion debacle stuff from yesterday. All right, we talked more about this tolling issue with somebody who's joined us many times to talk about it, and that's State Senator Chris Elliott. Thanks for your time, and by the way, happy belated Father's Day.
Thank you very much, Sean, to you as well, and thanks for having me again. We're starting to make a habit out of this.
That's right, and this subject, I mean, we have the metrics here and look at it. I know y'all do as well. Subject dominates the thought of a lot of people that listen to our station, and that is, and I'd say the low-hanging fruit is a discussion of how much the toll is going to be. And I want to get into that. But first, you know me long enough. I want to hit the rewind button and go in the time machine and see how we got here. Okay. And how did we arrive at a situation where the only option was one where we had to have this private concessionaire come in here to be able to have the money to do this?
Well, the simple answer to that is this is a very, very large project. When you start talking about $2.1 to $2.3 billion, this is a project that is the largest of its kind, really, in the Southeast, and one of the largest public infrastructure projects nationally. There are several other FHWA and USDOT's website that you can look through, many of which are private public partnerships, these P3s we're talking about right now. But that is the shift that the federal government has made to how to fund major infrastructure projects like this, or these public-private partnerships, and that's really how we've ended up here.
Okay, so this is, I mean, basically from when this project first was discussed, which I mean, just in my memory, has been over a decade, if not maybe two decades, but let's say over a decade, project's been discussed. The way the federal government allocates money for road projects has, in other words, we're coming into a new time here. So I'm using old thinking here for a new project.
Well, I'm not going to ever call your thinking old.
But well, yes, do it.
Things have changed from the federal government standpoint. It really started when we quit doing earmarks. You remember earmarks in the federal government, and there was the powerful senator or the powerful congressman got the stuff in his district.
Mm-hmm.
And for what it's worth, whether you like earmarks or not, I think everybody would agree that in Alabama, we really missed our timing on that.
Yeah.
Because we've got Senator Shelby as the chairman of the Appropriations Committee, right, in the Senate Appropriations, arguably the third or fourth most powerful man in the world,
yes,
in the country. And that's where we missed the boat. If he was still in there, if earmarks were still around and Shelby's in this position, I don't know that we'd be having this conversation. So the good fiscal conservatives that we are, and most of us are here in South Alabama, don't like earmarks, and we're applauding when the federal government got rid of them. And it really was probably a good thing, given the deficit and the debt that our federal government has. But that's where we missed out here in South Alabama, is we didn't have Shelby in the right spot when the earmarks were there.
That's good insight.
Having a very different conversation.
Well, that's a good insight, because people have been scratching their heads, right? Our collective head scratching going on here in Alabama, and say, before he was even in the position that he is now, one of the biggest dogs in Washington, he was quite adroit at bringing money, some people might call it pork, back to the state of Alabama.
Yep.
Right?
Did you make that noise yourself?
Just like I was channeling the pig, Wilbur the pig.
That's that is right. I mean, Senator Shelby's been very effective at bringing dollars back to Alabama, and other congressmen and senators have been as well. But Shelby's been particularly adept at it, and he has continued to do that, and will continue to do with the port widening. But to talk to Senator Shelby and to talk to his office, it's one thing to find $100 million or $200 million or even $500 million that we're matching here at the local government level. But $2.1 billion is a whole different animal. And that is not something that that Senator Shelby's able to wave his wand and make happen, unfortunately.
Okay, so from when this first was discussed to now, some things obviously have changed, you're pointing out, because I remember early on, I didn't pick this out of a cloud, that it was a 80-20 kind of proposition.
Well, that's typically how federal government programs have worked in the past. Now, again, that has changed in FHWA's mind, Federal Highway's mind, and it's changed when we start dealing with projects of a scope like this. And if you start looking at comparable projects around the country, most of the recent ones have been done through a public-private partnership. And that's been the funding mechanism, because we don't have a robust federal infrastructure plan. We don't have robust federal funding available to us to make these types of things happen.
All right. So then we land where we are now with the private entity coming in. There's a lot of people asking where this money, this private capital, have they been identified? Is that in documentation somewhere?
They have. Whether or not it is public at this point, Sean, you'll have to forgive me. I don't know. I've been involved in a lot of meetings, some of which are public and some of which are not, and I don't remember.
Yeah, be
exactly
careful.
That line is, so
yeah.
I'm going to be careful.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, they are huge multinational construction companies, construction and finance companies, and they have done these types of projects around this country previously. So these are. You know, these are companies that have been around for a while. These are companies that specialize in this. And what they've done is they've partnered with, you know, local folks, local engineering folks, local road paving contractors, local bridge builders, U.S. bridge builders, all of whom are names you would recognize if you heard them. And they're different folks on different teams. But right now we've got three teams that ALDOT has that are looking at providing a proposal on this project. And while I love talking about this stuff, and I love talking about where we came from and where we're going, I think it's reasonable to say at this point, the folks in Montgomery, the ALDOT folks in Montgomery and the governor's office have absolutely heard from coastal Alabama. They've heard from me. They've heard from you. They've heard from your listeners. And they are well aware of what is, you know, what the opinion is down here. And what they're trying to do now is push those concessionaires in that direction. And say, okay, guys, you're coming back to us with a proposal. The proposal is not going to be, we're going to build a bridge for X, and we're going to charge you Y toll. It's going to be much more complicated than that. It's going to say, we're going to build a bridge. It's going to look like this. It's going to have these design characteristics, this many lanes, this much, you know, it's going to have an observation tower. It's not going to have an observation tower.
Right.
You know, and the toll is going to be this. And, oh, by the way, there's going to be this discount, this frequent user discount, or this flat rate toll, or this, what we've been doing is trying to get them to think outside the box so that they come up with some options for us that will answer the concerns that we're hearing here in coastal Alabama.
Hey, speaking of the user discount, and I had somebody tell me I was full of it the other day, and I said, well, I'll go back to the person who said it first, that you cannot give, at least according to the federal government, you can't give tolling discounts based on your address, right?
That is my understanding from what FHWA is saying. But you can give a frequent user discount, and you may be able to get, and these are things we're continuing to work on, and you may be able to get some flat rate fee, right? So it's
how's that
know,
work?
That's one of those things that, you know, it's a buffet style. It's one of those things where you can pay so much a month and drive across.
Okay,
the bridge,
okay, you know? I got you. Okay,
but those are all options. None of which are we haven't. Put those through the model yet, and I guess to that point, I will say, let's see what the bridge companies come back with. Let's see what the concessionaires come back with here towards the end of the summer, and then we get down to, okay, what's really on the table? What are the options that are really out there? What are these three companies that have done this in other places? What did they come up with? And what do we want? What do we don't want? And hey, here's an idea too, Sean. If none of this is acceptable, we can say that too, and that's okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm interested in too, and I'm seeing some people ask. They were asking those questions this morning. Is there a no? Is there a way? You know, A, B, if choosing from these different options, is there one of the options that's no?
That is exactly an option, and I don't think that anybody that's been working on this project wants to see that happen. We need this bridge. There's no question in my mind. But just like, you know, I'm a businessman. At the end of the day, there's sometimes where you just have to look at it and go, nope, that's too rich for my blood, or it's not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
The value proposition's not there anymore. And it's completely acceptable for ALDOT, and it's completely acceptable for the governor, and it's completely acceptable for us as folks in coastal Alabama to say, I'm not okay with that. And we'd rather not have a bridge than have one that's onerous, or the toll is onerous, and something that's going to be around for 50 years and change the nature of our the fabric of our economy down here. And that's a completely reasonable answer, too. Sometimes no is an okay answer. But let's see what the options are before we say no.
There he is, State Senator Chris Elliott. Thank you for checking in with us. And, of course, I'll be bringing you up again soon to talk about this very subject.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, thank you. Grab your calls when we get back at 343-0106, 343-0106. Got a lot of comments, too, from the text line and the Facebook page. We'll get into those.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Zydeco cover of Casanova. That's Zydeco. We need some more Zydeco acts to come swinging through here. Get them down. Oh, that's right. They'll have, they'll come this far. That'll be good. We'll get them in Mobile County because they won't want to go across the Bayway and through the tunnel. Get them coming from Lafayette and Opelousas and Iowa and Jennings and all those areas over there and have them come over this way. And then we'll stop them right here at the tunnel. All right, phone number is 343-0106. I also thought about this. This will be a boon, Dalton. You know that shirt from our friends over at the Nutria Rodeo that I was showing you, that Take the Causeway t-shirt? I'd say that if the bridge is not built, or if it for sure is built, these shirts will become like uniforms for folks to take the causeway. But like callers were saying this morning, too, of course, that brings in a whole new series of questions of traffic on the causeway. And for me, it's brought in the question of, hey, if you're going, what do you do now? Okay, you make the call. You're traveling I-10 eastbound, heading towards Wallace Tunnel. And you, because you're local, you start looking when you get past Michigan, you start looking for signs of anything, and you're coming around, there's South Broad coming off, and you're looking, because I know what you're looking for, right? You're looking for brake lights and all that, and vehicles, and slow down, and then you get there, and you get near Virginia Street, there they are. They're starting to pile up. What do you do? Right, if you're from around here, you get off, right? You get off on, like, Virginia, and go and do the old surface street thing, and get down on Government, and take that right turn on Government with couple hundred of your friends and go through the Bankhead and get on the causeway. Well, think about that. If that was an everyday thing going forward, then you have people avoiding the tolls, not paying the toll, but causing, I can argue, road wear at a higher level than normal for the city of Mobile, and definitely law enforcement having to work traffic on the streets leading to Government, and then their Government going into the tunnel. So, I mean, there's a way that the cost will be shifted, as the traffic will as well. All right, to the phones, and yeah, but those, by the way, guess you those shirts. Go to NutriRodeo.com, and they got their Take the Causeway shirts there. These are cool. Let's go to Mike in Saraland. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Sean. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question, and if you don't know the answer, maybe when you have one of your guests on, make a mental note. You know, when they first started talking about this new bridge, they was talking about a walk path and a mm-hmm. bike path. Is that still in the planning stage for this new bridge?
I don't know if it's in this final pay, and I'll get somebody who can tell me that for sure. But the way I understood it, Mike, is that it was somewhat frustrating when I had this dream that it was some kind of 80% federal match. And they were saying, well, if you want the federal match money, you have to do these things, right? But I was like, you know what? If that's what it takes to get the federal match money, it's, you know, federal interstate, that's what it is. If that's still there, which I think it is, because I think they can dictate, not depending on the percentage of money in, if it is a federal interstate, they can tell you what you got to do. I think it's still there, but I'll double check. But at 7%, the best we'll get for federal money now, Mike, would be 7%. And if we then have to pay for that with our toll, maybe we'll get a bicycle toll. I mean, I'm not anti-bicycle. I think they're pretty cool. I think it's cool, people riding, but maybe they'll pay a toll too.
Yeah. Well, you know, Sean, what I was thinking, you see signs on the interstate all the time, but this is part of the interstate project.
No bikes.
It says, you know, no bikes, no yep. walking, yep. all this kind of thing. Of course, you see people walking, you know, but with that. But, you know, if we're going to have this type of investment from we the people, I believe when it comes down to it, if the government's not going to fund enough of it, maybe the folks in Montgomery should strike this bike lane and mm-hmm. walk lane, and, you know, let's do something usually Bankhead Tunnel more often, you know, and yep. let's help the people who have to travel back and forth.
Good point. Appreciate the call, man. Yeah, you know, one of the things, too, we focus on the bridge because that's the new thing, the different thing. But this is all part of a combination, if you understand this. So the bridge, the proposed bridge, and then the the lanes that would lead, they're going to expand the Bayway, okay, expand it in number of lanes east and west. And there's also the other side of this saying that they have to actually get rid of the Bayway as it is and go higher. I want to say raise, but, you know, in radio, you don't see it in print. When I say raise, I mean elevate, okay, not demolish. They elevate the Bayway and expand it. So that, and then you have the lanes that would be needed to bring the traffic in from the bridge and the tunnel and combine and make sure you don't go, you know, you don't give it another bottleneck. And that would be continued on into Baldwin County, that expansion of I-10. So that was part of the project. They said that goes with, and that was one of the reasoning, their reasoning for being able to toll the Wallace Tunnel, because it was, they said, well, the toll of the Wallace Tunnel will be taking care of the improvements we're doing to the Bayway. That is, so there's a big scope of things, bike lanes, walking lanes, but also expansion of the actual Bayway, and then the lanes leading into it, and then the bridge, and the bridge being part of it too. So it's a combination. All right, Steve says here, how does this jive with Burns saying that ALDOT said they didn't want any federal funding? I guess, okay, Steve was probably talking about what State Senator Chris Elliott said. That, I don't know, I mean, it sounds like, I mean, if you heard the clips, you heard the congressman, he said basically that ALDOT said they were going to take it on their own, which, to me, at that point, they knew they couldn't afford it. I mean, we're talking about an amount for this bridge, and I don't even know what the amount is. You remember this started, it was $800,000, or I mean, sorry, $800 million, and I said, yeah, right, it'll be a billion. I mean, that's just the way these things are. And of course, it was a billion, then it was a billion five. Now it's $2.4 billion. They didn't, other than doing some testing on some pilings and some environmental assessments and some things like that, they hadn't even started spending the money yet, and it's $2.4 billion. So it's going to be quite a bit higher than that. So ALDOT at that point knew that what we were talking about would be half the project would be the entirety of ALDOT's budget. So they knew they weren't going to be able to do it at that time. Seems to me at that point they'd already made the decision to go with the private concessionaire because the will was not there to spend more. I mean, you can argue that will's not there, or they just don't have the dollars, right? You can't spend as much as I would like to. And I'm sorry I have to be so adversarial, but post-BP money, I get that way. You know, I almost want to put it on the rest of the state and say, ha-ha, this year y'all get nothing, we get it all. But that's not the way. It's not going to happen. That's not realistic. All right, Ben says on the text line, why are they making this so, and I'm feeling frisky today, Ben, I'll read it without editing. Why do they make this so damn complicated? Drop the toll on the tunnel and people will be happy. If it's not a good business decision to drop the toll on the tunnel due to leakage, then it's not a good business decision to build the bridge. Tear down the Civic Center, straighten out the curves into the tunnel, and let's move on. Ben, I think you may have just launched a campaign there. I like that. All right. Oh, my friend Fireball is checking in from Mobile. Too long. I have not talked to you in weeks, Fireball. What's up, man?
Ain't nothing to it, just like my paycheck.
Y'all both of doing ours. All right? Yeah, I'm doing good.
All right. Listen, I'll have to agree with the caller. Do away, I mean, whoever designed that tunnel and the courthouse.
Yes.
Both of them, they need to be charged, fined. Because it was too bad design. I'll have to agree on that westbound side. Let that, when you come out of the tunnel, let it go further out into where the Civic Center parking lot was and make a not aggressive of a curve.
Well, I think most of us would agree with you. I wonder, and you know how I always, when I say these things, I go, there's got to be something we don't know on this, and I'm going to try to find out what the thing
right.
is.
Okay, that, number two is, all the hurricanes, and the last hurricane, well, I was 16 years old when Camille came through. Okay, why do they want to raise the Bayway?
They said because, and okay, so here's what they're saying. They said, look at what happened to the Escambia Bay over, you know, in Pensacola, and what happened to I-10 going over Pontchartrain going to New Orleans. Both of them, during different hurricanes, suffered enough damage to shut them down. I need to see what those elevations are compared to, you know, but they're saying, and so if the elevations are the same, at least you can say, they've got a decent argument. Of course, somebody had called in weeks ago, and very Machiavellian of them, but they said, hey, if the Bayway gets taken out by a storm, then we won't have to pay for it. The feds will fix it, and we won't be on
right.
for the money.
Well, the see, like I said, I've been around and Camille and before. But what I'm saying is, the only hurricane that I saw any kind of damage to the Bayway was one of them not too long ago moved where you in the middle of the causeway where you get up on the Bayway, moved that on ramp over about 6 inches.
Yep.
And they had to close it down.
Yeah, I remember that.
Ramp.
That was Katrina, wasn't it? Wasn't that Katrina?
It may have been.
Yeah,
it may have
so.
Been Katrina. Well, that's what I'm saying. They don't need to, I don't believe they need to go any further lift it up. I do agree they need to be 3 to 4 lanes on the Bayway all the way to exit 44.
Yeah, they're talking about 4 either side. Is what they were talking about.
Right.
So 4 east,
yes,
4
sir.
West, and then because a bunch of people had texted in, well, that's just going to cause a bottleneck at Spanish Fort. Nuh-uh. They're going to continue that. The part of the plan is to continue that on east, you know, to...
And thanks to our senators up North Alabama, the counties in North Alabama, they cut Baldwin County and Mobile County's throat when they took that BP money. That BP money could have went for this bridge.
Oh, it could have. I think it had probably been squandered elsewhere, but it would have been our decision to squander it elsewhere.
Right. But see, they had no money in. I think everybody north of Escambia County in Alabama ought to have to pay double toll on the bridge because they took our money.
There you go. When you can get that in legislation, let me know. I'll sign on it. Okay?
Yes, sir. Y'all doing a fantastic job.
Thank you, Fireball. Appreciate it, man. Great to hear from you. And I'll hear from you when we get back at 343-0106. 343-0106. Coming right back to the phones. I don't know if I can do... I got a story I just put up on my Twitter feed. Number one, I'm going to get in trouble for this. Because number one, I've taken a for sure story from Dalton for 6.5 Stories on Fridays. I've also possibly painted myself into a corner where I have to do the story, but it involves a Florida man arrested with 75 pool floats that he stole to do something with. Maybe I'll explain that in a little bit. Check out the Twitter feed. It's waiting for you.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1250 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along. Hey, coming up next hour, beginning of next hour, I'm going to interrupt dinner or wake him up or something. We're going to ring up George Talbot with City of Mobile, ask him how it's going. Day one of the Paris Air Show. We'll do that in just a second. Also, on the Twitter feed, that T-shirt I mentioned from my buddies over at the Nutria Rodeo, the Take the Causeway T-shirt that I think will be more and more popular as time moves on. I put a link up to it, or at least a picture of it, on the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5. All right, go to the phones and look at here. Mr. Robert Kennedy Jr. joining us now. Hey, what's up, Robert?
Hey, Sean, man, how you been?
I think I'm all right. I've been kind of Father's Day'd out. How about you?
No complaints. It's actually funny with regards to your topic today. I'm actually on my way over to Orange Beach for a client meeting. And thinking about how that world will change once we end up with those tolls.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's good. Let's play like the you make the call here. So, you're driving, you're like me, Mobile County guy, you're driving east. You start seeing the brake lights at Virginia. Virginia's where the bridge will come off. You're before Virginia, you start seeing brake lights. What do you do? Do you take the bridge? Do you take the tunnel? Do you pay the toll? Or you try to get off and go around and go through the Bankhead?
Yeah, in my scenario, I would end up going through the Bankhead because the office that I actually work out of on the Mobile side is right on Government Street.
Okay.
But you could see that anybody who has to do that on a normal basis is going to be making that call.
Yeah.
If I'm going directly from the house because I'm in Pritchard and I'm not going to the office first, then I'm coming over the Aftertown Bridge.
So either way, you're avoiding the toll.
That's correct. That is correct.
Well, then you're getting over on it. But, you know, I think one of the questions I'm asking, I have not heard this addressed from municipal level, is, I mean, I do understand human nature, and human nature will be with, if you have a toll on both, there will be people that say, to heck with this, I'm going to get off, and they're going to get off on Virginia or South Broad or whatever. They're going to make their way around, get on Government, and go through the Bankhead. That's going to be a bunch of more cars going through the city of Mobile that I don't know that the city's ready for.
Well, absolutely, right? And if you think about the additional infrastructure costs just because you have the extra wear and tear on the street.
Yep.
And as you mentioned before, if you end up with that huge backlog going through the Bankhead Tunnel, then you're going to end up with additional police protection that you're going to need in order to move the traffic around.
Yeah, so I mean, at that point, the federal money wasn't there. The state hasn't come up with the money. The private concessionaire has come up with the money, but there's a de facto shift of the cost to something like the city of Mobile.
Absolutely. And there's one thing that I actually wanted to kind of pull the trigger on is you talked a lot about ALDOT, and Representative Byrne mentioned that before in his call last week. I'm still trying to get my head around who is the individual making the decision and what were the criteria that they used to come to the conclusion that they didn't need federal money.
I'm interested in as well. It'd be John Cooper, I guess, the buck would stop with him.
Okay. Well, because when we talk about our elected officials, you know, if we have any feedback, we can call up Representative Byrne, or we can call up Senator Shelby or Senator Jones on the federal level, and we can give them that feedback. But it's rare when you hear anyone talking about unpeeling the layers at ALDOT to understand why that particular decision was made.
I would love that. You've known me long enough that if I open invitation, I don't have a connection with him. I have some people here locally with ALDOT that have been on the show. If he'll come on and tell me why, I'd be fascinated.
Yeah, I think that would be good, because the natural skepticism that those of us who are operating in the rational world usually have when we get to these topics is there's an assumption, because now there's a private entity involved, that dollars are ultimately flowing into somebody's pocket. Now, the private entity is going to want to make a return on their invested capital,
yep.
And that's the thing that we love about capitalism. And those of us who are a little bit more fiscally responsible than others of us have a tendency to love that. But when you hear the amount of money that they're talking about, particularly when you're looking at a period, I think it's something like 50 years.
Yeah, 55.
They're going to be making gajillions of dollars.
Well, it was nine. What was it? $9 billion was the estimate Dr. Liu had, and we've run the numbers. If we bonded it as a state and paid even a less than perfect interest rate, it wouldn't cost that much. It would be $4 billion or something. It's still a bunch of money, but nowhere near what it's going to cost in projected, that's going to go into the tolls.
And you're still assuming with that initial estimate that was done that the daily cost is still relatively modest.
Right.
Before I moved back to Mobile, I lived in New Jersey and I actually worked in New York City.
Uh-oh.
So I commuted every single day.
I'm sorry.
And our cost going up there, if you were on a monthly pass, it prorated at about $8 a day.
Okay.
And if you were not on a monthly pass, it was $12 a day.
Wow.
And so my fear here, the mess locally, is that, yes, folks are talking about relatively modest costs now, but you remember there was something that was actually put in there that was a provision for them to be able to raise the cost from year to year.
Yeah, I think they have it's almost like a CPI or something like that.
Absolutely.
And so going forward, they can raise it, and there's no mechanism. That's a tough thing. While I've told folks that we're all up in arms that this private entity will have the ability to suspend your driver's license and block your car tags, you shouldn't have a problem with that. You should have a problem that there's a private entity doing it. Of course, they're going to have a mechanism to get their money. I mean, they're investing the money. They're going to have a mechanism to get it back. But the question is, having that private capital in there and them doing, I understand, and I want them to, I understand private capital. I don't understand government sometimes, but I understand private capital. They want to get the best return on their investment. I don't know that we shop something like that. Is there somebody who says, well, they can do it for this, but we'll do it for a toll for 25 years at half that price? I mean, I don't know if there's anybody else that got the pitch for it. I don't know that.
And you're really hitting the nail on the head. And the reason why I think folks like you and I are passionate about these particular issues is this isn't the level of detail that you're usually talking about during any electoral season.
Right.
Right. This isn't a partisan issue.
No.
At the end of the day, we'll move the airport, we'll build the bridge, we'll redo the civic center, et cetera, because it's going to be better for the region. But to your point, it would really be good to have that next level of detail to understand what's informing these decisions. And then ultimately, what dollar is flowing into what individual's pocket?
Great questions. And I'm going to do my best to get them answered, maybe one at a time, maybe a bunch of them at one time. But, I'll keep asking the questions. I'm not going to tell you that they're going to give me an answer, but I'll ask them.
Well, that's what we love about you, Sean. We know you ask the questions, and we know that you play it straight. So
thanks
a lot for taking my call. I appreciate it.
No problem. I tell you what, just a minute. I tell you what, we got folks holding. We'll get to you when we come back after the news, okay? So, Tona and Terry and everybody else, y'all hold on. 343-0106. I want to get your calls, but it's not fair to put you on here and then have the, top of the hour news come on and run you off. So, y'all hang on. We'll come right back. And some text questions coming in here, too. So, we'll try to address these from the text line at 343-0106. A lot of y'all are like civil engineers. Y'all are good with your engineer and drawings and ideas and moving the traffic. That's good. It's good. I guess turn them in over at LDOT. See if they'll do something about it. I like these. Like these ideas out here. Better than mine was just stay at the house, which is not. It's probably not a valid plan. All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile right here on FM Talk 106.5.
AOC's new Green Deal.
It's so stupid.
But everyone wants FM Talk's big Green Deal. You get the green, and your backyard is transformed with a granite top outdoor kitchen cart from Delta Stone. Designed to fit your new XL Big Green Egg from Gulf Coast Tools. Relax in your new Adirondack chairs and table set from Old Time Feed while you watch your new 29-inch Toshiba HD TV with TV Shield weatherproof enclosure and 4-episode all-weather speakers and amplifier with Bluetooth, including custom installation from Bailey's TV. And when you want to change, grab your new Vibe Orange Camo stand-up paddleboard from Yellowhammer Fishing and head to Johnny's RV Resort for a week's staycation in an RV from Johnny's Premier RV and Boats. And to help you get around, a 2-week cart rental from Cart Doctor, a prize pack valued over $9,000. Details on how to win on our Facebook page and website, fmtalk1065.com.